and 107.5 FM, W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump standing by his decision to temporarily reverse the tariffs put in place just a few days ago, even though Canada and China say they will keep reciprocal tariffs in place for now. The Trump administration trying to refocus its efforts to slim down the federal workforce. ABC's Andrew Dimbert has that.
As Trump works to downsize the federal government, he's taking steps to restrain Elon Musk after cabinet members voiced concern about mass firings. Trump now emphasizing it's cabinet members who will decide which workers stay in employed, not Musk. Trump now vowing to cut the federal workforce with a scalpel rather than a hatchet.
Setback for SpaceX after last night's Starship rocket launch ended in an explosion that could be seen as far away as the Caribbean. An unexploded bomb from World War II found not far from the busy Gare du Nord train station in Paris. Minesweepers were sent to the site, but a nearby road was shut down. Eurostar service is also suspended. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is calling for increased funding for staffing at the Wisconsin State Crime Laboratories. This week, Attorney General Call and a group of state legislators called for $2.7 million of the state budget to hire for an additional 19 positions in the labs. There are just three crime labs across the state to cover the forensic evidence needs of law enforcement authorities in 72 counties. Officials say they've seen long backlogs in processing evidence, causing lengthy delays in court proceedings for serious cases. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced a preliminary injunction against the Trump administration's efforts to cut billions in funding for the Department of Health and Human Services and the National Institutes of Health. The lawsuit was filed by attorneys general from 22 states in February, and Wednesday's ruling will provide a temporary reprieve from those funding cuts. The National Institutes of Health is the primary source of federal funding for medical research in the country, heavily supporting universities and research institutions. Polk County organizations with a focus on helping the area's aging population can now apply for grant funding to assist in those efforts. The Door County Community Foundation will be accepting applications for grant funding through their Growing Older Fund until March 24th. Organizations that work to address issues and opportunities involving aging, fostering intergenerational connections, and building support communities are invited to apply. Officials say the expected average grant amount will be about $2,500. The American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation will be hosting their annual Fat Bike Berkey and Cable this weekend. The yearly event allows on-snow bike riders to race the Berkey course with 47K, 21K, and 10K options. To qualify for the races on Saturday, riders should have bikes with tires that are at least 3.5 inches. The first race will kick off at 9 a.m. and a post-race party will be held beginning at 11 a.m. Riders interested in participating in the event can find more information and register on the American Birkebeiner website. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks host the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks getting ready to host the Orlando Magic tomorrow night in Milwaukee. The Bucks have won four in a row, eight of their last 10 games, averaging over 114 points a night. College basketball gets started tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. at Fiserv Forum as Marquette hosts number six ranked St. John's. It's senior day for the Golden Eagles for players like Stevie Mitchell, David Coplin, and Cam Jones. The Badgers taking on Penn State at noon tomorrow in Madison. Baseball, the Brewers blanked the A's 10-0 in Arizona. Starter Jacob Mizorowski looked sharp in his three innings of work. The Brewers ranked 24th this year in payroll. Can they still win the division again?
Of course we can. We have in the past, and we can again. But we got to take care of our house. We can't worry about what they're doing. We got to take care of our house, and we got to play a certain way. We have to be uncommon, you know, and that fits.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Plenty of sunshine today. We'll get to the upper 30s to low 40s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to drop down into the low 20s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, low to mid 40s, close to 50 by Sunday. We're talking highs near 60 by Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 14.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is flawed about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And it's a bar band Friday night, and that means our pal Terry Barr will be by with new music and fun conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up? This is
a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it.
Stop it.
Right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Cardi. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, Earl. Just got some breaking news last night. My younger brother has leukemia, so kind of going through that with the family and trying to get everything situated with that.
Well, man, our prayers go out to you. And your family, man. I know, you know, God is able.
Yeah.
But, you know, sorry to hear that, man. And, you know, we'll certainly send up prayers.
Appreciate that, too, by the way. Thank you, Earl.
You know, it's Friday, and so as we await Sandy Williams, and I guess he should be arriving any moment, I just wanted to at least say that we're headed towards some warm weather. I'm excited about that. And let me see where we are with Sandy. So I'm excited about the warm weather. And at least, you know, we'll be 50 and above starting at 60, a couple days of 60 next week. And so excitement, is on tap. We might have finally turned the corner, with this bad weather. You know, there's, so much going on, and a lot of things that Sandy and I are going to be covering, this morning. And with Donald Trump and Republicans, you know, I don't know how. I'm looking at the fact that Trump is preparing to close the Department of Education. You know, the jobs report doesn't look very good right now in the economy. The economy is slowing. And there are just so many negative signs. It's hard to see positives happening in this country right now. And the horrors of what, you know, are coming down the pike is just unfathomable. You know, some of us have been around a little while. We've seen some times. You know, but the nation always seems to spring back as there he is Sandy Williams is finally making his triumphant return.
I've been in hiding.
Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm all right. I looked at the Lakers, who are coming to Milwaukee soon, and they can't seem to lose.
No, man. They didn't make one trade. They made one big trade and then smaller ones, but the big trade seems to have triggered them into, a winning proposition. The other part of how smart they were with that trade, Sandy, Luka Doncic.
Yeah, they brought Doncic in, but Anthony Davis, the guy they traded for on the big point, he's not even playing, so they sort of lucked out in the process.
Well, here's the other thing. Long term, what they benefited from was LeBron James at the end of his career.
Yeah, well, now they've got his replacement.
Yes, they've got a young man, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they're pretty smart. They made a great deal. You know, Sandy, we're going to get started and talk about a lot of different things, but the first thing I want to ask you before we go into what you wanted to tell, I'm watching the news and the latest thing is the jobs reports are not looking good.
Yeah, they aren't looking as good as the prognosticators had predicted.
What does that mean?
You know, the people who predict.
I know about the prognosticators, but the fact that their jobs aren't looking.
Well, you know, what Trump is doing is rattling the economy. You know, if every part of the economy is unsure about what the future looks like, and you don't hire someone that's a new source of cost to you, a new annual payroll cost, unless you're pretty sure about your ability to earn the money to pay that new employee. And so uncertainty causes businesses to pull in their horns. You don't hire people. You don't make investments. You basically sit on your hands until you can figure things out.
So is this 101 on how the economy and things that impact and affect the economy?
Yes. I mean, it isn't even finance 101. Before you get to business school, before you decided to go to business school, you understand that uncertainty is the enemy of good business. Uncertainty is the enemy of investment. Uncertainty is the enemy of people, of the stock market. And the stock market is also responding in a very disappointing fashion.
Yeah. But Sandy, let's get into, we got a lot of stuff we're going to cover, a lot of areas we're going to cover this morning. And you kind of wanted to talk about Donald the Don.
The Don, yeah. You know, the Don is, you know, he's always called himself the Don. And I didn't realize that it was Don Corleone that he was referring to. But, you know, when you look at the style of leadership now, I read an article by a guy named Ed Kilgore in New York Magazine, and he did a really good job of describing how it is that Vladimir Putin rules and how it is that Donald Trump is now moving in the direction of trying to rule, which is not trying to obtain the admiration and respect of those who might work for you or those out there who you want to be subjugated to you. But what you demand is absolute loyalty. And the response to a lack of absolute loyalty is revenge and retribution. It's whack-a-mole. You know, in Russia, it involves falling out of windows. But in the United States, it also can play a different kind of a game. It's the mayor of the crooked mayor of the city. And every big city machine mayor operated this way, which is you've got the building inspectors. They're your army. And if someone owns real estate in your city and decides to stick their head up and be a mole and to say something that might be derogatory about you, the next day, the building inspectors are at every property and they're finding all of the deficiencies that might exist and some that might not exist that make your life absolutely impossible and miserable. And you learn your lesson. You don't stick your head up ever again and talk about the mayor, because keeping your head down avoids a lot of problems. And what's happened now is that pursuant to Project 2025's playbook, Donald Trump has seized control of the Department of Justice, the FBI, all of the local U.S. attorney's offices, and the U.S. Banking regulation, the Department of Treasury. All of these people, and the SEC even, and all of these people are in a position to regulate the dickens out of any business that might have the temerity to stick its head up and say something negative about the president. And so we have federal investigations of news networks. We have the potential for antitrust actions against Amazon. We have all of these arrows in the quiver of this Don Corleone president, who can now threaten or implicitly threaten everybody to either get in line or be in line for federal prosecution. And James Diamond, one of the most independent bankers in the country, has lined up.
You know, Sandy, when you speak on that level, and all of these other entities and institutions that really kind of are at the apex of our nation and what it does and how it works, the average person is the one who's going to be impacted the most in the end.
Well, what we should understand is that this is a form of repression that causes everybody to line up. You look at William Gates. William Gates meets with him, finds out that USAID and the things that they do that William Gates, is interested in terms of world health. Donald Trump makes him some promises on that, and William Gates begins to line up in a manner that he hasn't in the past. The president can use his tools to thwart any sort of dissent, and he's doing so. They're investigating universities that have been places of dissent. They're particularly investigating institutions and universities that are liberal in nature, not conservative. When you are a business and you're threatened with enforcement that might come out of left field if you stick your head up, you keep your head down. You know, that's you're protecting you believe you're protecting the jobs of your employees, the institution that you've developed. And so this is the form of repression that is most effective, and it is in play right now.
I know, but Sandy, all of those people and entities that you talked about who are keeping their heads down, in the end, people, the average American citizen, is going to be impacted by the decisions that those people make.
Yeah, I mean, the victims of the mistakes of the government of the United States are always Tom, Dick, and Mary. You know, the people who have great wealth have a big landing. They have lots of cushion on their landing pads, and they don't have to worry about recessions. They'll sit and swing the ice cubes in their cocktails around while they talk about the pain they're experiencing from the recession that's causing their stock portfolio to be simply half of what it used to be. But they aren't experiencing pain. They're just unhappy because they aren't as wealthy as they used to be. But Tom, Dick, and Mary actually experienced the pinch.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Donald Trump is out of control, stopping payments for healthcare and food for hungry kids, eliminating the Department of Education, and letting unelected billionaire Elon Musk fire anyone he wants and get access to your most private information. We need a Supreme Court justice who will keep them in check before they go too far. That's Judge Susan Crawford.
I'm Judge Susan Crawford. As a former prosecutor and now as a judge, I believe in protecting you, your family, and your right to privacy, and that women have the right to make their own decisions about their health care. Because to me, that's just common sense.
Donald Trump and Elon Musk are both backing Brad Schimmel. He'll do whatever they want. That's why we need Judge Susan Crawford. The common sense judge will keep them in check. Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Susan Crawford for Wisconsin. Crawford for WI.com.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We remember the legacy of Vell Phillips, the trailblazing civil rights leader, is also the first African-American woman elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly. Phillips was born in Milwaukee, and though she faced both racial and gender barriers, she remained strong in her fight for equality. She helped pass groundbreaking laws to desegregate public housing while also fighting for voting rights. Her courage and determination wasn't just for Wisconsin, but for the nation. And Phillips' legacy continues to inspire those who believe in justice, showing that one voice can spark change. These are the stories continuing to inspire all of us every day. And as we honor them, we will also recognize the powerful women who are still writing history. I'm Terry Barr.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Well, I know what that is. Don Corleone. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy. We're going to send you the music.
Well, I pick music that reflects the style of leadership of someone like Don Corleone. It's the mob. It's the mob in terms of the form of whack-a-mole that keeps everyone in line. And I think that's what we're watching right now. And what I've talked about on earlier shows is my concern about process and the American democratic architecture. And what we have in place now is a government that's wholly intent on taking that apart and giving all of the power that used to be subject to checks and balances to an individual. And that individual is apparently inclined to use that power in much the same manner as Don Corleone, which is either line up or I will take all these arrows in my quiver of governmental power and I will aim them at you. And so you'll learn your lesson very quickly. And you don't need many examples of that to cause everybody to decide that they're simply going to keep their head down so that in the game of whack-a-mole, they aren't the object of the whack.
You know, Sandy, as an American citizen, the outrage that I have and that I feel is that those people who are going to keep their heads down to protect themselves, even though, you know, wrong be damned, I've got a self-preservation is what I'm concerned about.
And
not the American people.
Well, what's happening is that the self-preservation of the people in power is going to cause the damage to be done to all of us.
Yes.
You know, the Tom, Dick, and Mary. You know, we're the ones that are going to feel the pain while they avoid the pain of doing the right thing or doing the thing that they would be right from their standpoint because of their fear of being whacked. And, you know, if this was going on locally, if the mayor of Milwaukee was behaving like this, I think it would be uncovered. And we would all be involved in local politics to try and make sure we'd be on a let's clean up government campaign. And here we are watching our federal government reduce itself to being just that kind of corrupt process that we would worry about a great deal if it was going on locally.
You know, Sandy, now that you've expressed it and explained it in that manner, how do you stop it?
Well, that's what, you know, the founding fathers foresaw this because they understood that absolute power corrupts absolutely, you know, that you need to have, no one can have absolute power under the architecture of the founding fathers because there are these checks and balances that are built in. And, you know, the Supreme Court has maybe stood up to Donald Trump on this USAID matter, you know, and I don't know how long Justice Roberts and Barrett are going to keep their backbone intact, but and we'll see whether the government responds by obeying the court with respect to the USAID matter. Interestingly, that $2 billion that was involved with the USAID embargo on expenditures was money that where the contractors had already done the work, what they were supposed to do under their contracts to get paid. So this was another case of Donald Trump welching on his contractors, much as he did on his casino projects and every other project he carried out, where contractors galore, everybody would walk away saying, don't work, don't go there and work, you aren't going to get paid.
You know, Sandy, the fact that he acts as though he's doing this to benefit the American people, when nothing could be further from the truth. It's all about, you know, him. And
well, you know, I think he's an empty suit. I think that he is a tool of a bunch of ideologues. Donald Trump is not an ideologue. I don't think he has an ideology other than Donald Trump and power to Donald Trump. But there are people, the people who are the architects of Project 2025, who are very much ideologues. They're not pragmatists. They have an axe to grind. They want to accomplish a change in the U.S. government structure, and they want to create essentially a very powerful president and to strip the federal agencies of their capacity to implement federal laws that have already been adopted. And so he's a... That happens to line up. The sun, the moon, and the stars line up for Donald Trump because these are people saying, we're going to make you more powerful. And he doesn't care why. He just cares. He's just happy that they're giving him a bigger whip.
So, Sandy, we got a new caller. We're going to take her, Dawn, TSA. Good morning to you, Dawn. You have a question or comment?
Good morning to you both, and thank you. I think there is a potential solution, but it's a real heavy lift. And I think that would be that we start across this country a concerted effort to recall members of Congress. And if we can flip sufficient numbers in both the House and the Senate, we can then impeach Trump. But it's a heavy lift, and federal office holders' impeachment has never been tested in the courts. So the Supreme Court might, after all that effort, could undo it. But that's... I'm looking for solutions.
Hey, Dawn, thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Well, Dawn, actually, you know, whether the process succeeds or not, the effort to do it might well grab the attention of a sufficient number of congresspeople that it might change their course of action. My problem with all of the solutions we have as people, which involve changing Congress, is that currently the president's strategy doesn't involve Congress. It basically involves the imperial presidency and making that a reality.
855-752-4842. My co-host Sandy Williams, and we've got a lot to cover, a lot to talk about. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
Listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for volunteers to participate in their rare plant monitoring program. According to a press release, the community-based science program asks volunteers to conduct surveys for rare plants across the state and track plant population trends during conservation efforts. The agency has run the program since 2013, and last year's program saw over 70 volunteers submit reports for over 220 rare plants. Interested volunteers can sign up for the upcoming training sessions online. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for input from residents on proposed duck hunting season zones and split options. According to a press release, the duck hunting season structure can be reviewed and changed every 5 years under the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The DNR is considering public input for 2026 through 2031. Feedback can be submitted online or by mail and must be submitted by March 30th. The DNR will also host a number of public hearings on the proposal over the next few weeks. The Washburn County Board of Supervisors is now accepting applications for 2025 alcohol and other drug abuse and use prevention mini-grants. The grant program provides community groups with funding for efforts to develop healthy communities. The county has offered the funding since 1987, and this year there is $10,000 available through the Washburn County Community Alliance for Prevention. Applications for the grant funding can be submitted online, and individual organizations can receive up to $1,000. The Lake Superior Zoo will be taking in some new animals following the closure of a Twin Cities aquarium and zoo. SeaQuest in Roseville is looking to relocate over 800 animals after filing for bankruptcy amid animal welfare complaints last year. Lake Superior Zoo officials say they don't know exactly which animals will be transferred to them, but are excited about the opportunity to help them as best they can. Officials also say the new animal additions could create a financial hiccup for them and are asking the community for donations to help. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Peaky Blinders fans who are looking for closure from the upcoming Peaky Blinders movie will not get it. Franchise creator Stephen Knight says Peaky Blinders will continue after the movie has been released, but was not specific as to whether it would be TV or film. In the upcoming movie, the Peaky Blinders gang does battle with Nazis. Netflix has not yet given a release date for the Peaky Blinders movie. Typically, when someone writes a movie, they are looking for creative and ideally financial gain. Rarely does citizenship come into play as a reward, but it did for Jesse Eisenberg, the writer of the movie A Real Pain. The Polish government granted Jesse citizenship for writing the film set in Poland, for which he was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Screenplay. Nice to have a place to weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Plenty of sunshine today. We'll get to the upper 30s to low 40s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to drop down into the low 20s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, low to mid 40s, close to 50 by Sunday. We're talking highs near 60 by Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
We expect our judges to be fair, impartial, to keep us safe. But Brad Schimmel? Schimmel cut plea deals with child pornographers. He blamed underage victims of sexual assault for their bad judgment. And Schimmel joined extreme MAGA Republicans in trying to ban abortion statewide, even for victims of rape and incest. Now he wants us to put him on the Supreme Court, where he could strip away our rights and be a rubber stamp for Donald Trump and Elon Musk. Brad Schimmel, dangerous, extreme, and unfit for the Supreme Court. Judge Susan Crawford knows right from wrong and has spent her life keeping us safe. Crawford protected nursing home patients from identity theft and fought for the rights of workers across Wisconsin. Crawford will always protect our right to choose and is the check and balance we need against Donald Trump and Elon Musk. On April 1st, Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Power to the Polls Action Fund. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Brady Ewing will be here, former fullback for Wisconsin football, to talk mental health and athletes and also the relationship with on-air announcers like Bill Rafferty of CBS. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
And now the end is near, and so
so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way.
All right, welcome back to a melancholy Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
I was picking music not only that might be about the Don, but might be the kind of music that Don Corleone would listen to. So
855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. I mean, it's Friday. It's my co-host Sandy Williams. Sandy, there's been this, you know, haranguing now and pressure placed on Donald Trump. He seems to be feeling some of the pressure about what Elon Musk has been doing. And so Donald Trump now is coming out and he's saying, hey, Elon Musk is the department heads are making these calls and making these decisions, not Elon Musk. Has he learned his lesson, or is he trying to pull another fast one?
No, I think he's just listening to his lawyers. I think this is legal cosmetic eyewash. I think there's no question that Elon Musk and his guys are calling the shots, sending out the memos, giving the instructions. But from a legal standpoint, Elon Musk is not a government employee. He has no power. He has no capacity to issue orders. The only people in the normal chain of command who would have the capacity to issue directives that a court might honor would be the secretary of the agency, the president, and people down the chain of command of actual employees. And so I think this is all just done to create the record so that in court they can again claim that Elon Musk is not really in charge. It's actually, you know, they named a woman last week who was like absolute nobody in the administration and said she's the government employee who's actually doing this. And I think the lawyers must have gotten together and said, yeah, that's not going to fly. No, we need to do something much more formal. And so they've had this formal press opportunity. Now they've had the press in there so they can hear the president instruct the cabinet officials. And now they've got a record they can take to court. But who's really in charge? From all intents and purposes, it appears that it's Elon Musk.
So, you know, the cabinet members... and clearly, as you just stated, there's a lot of pressure. Initially, Trump totally ignored it. But now even, Sandy, conservatives, Congress people starting to, you know, say some things. It's starting to, as you stated, and long ago, affect their constituents. Their constituents are making noise.
Well, you know, you can't fire a whole bunch of people. You can't renege on a whole bunch of contracts without creating a bunch of pain out there in various congressional districts. And that's what's happening. I mean, I've run into now several people I've talked to, each one of which has an individual story to tell that involves them experiencing or members of their family experiencing problems associated with these cutbacks, in particular the USAID cutbacks, which I think Donald Trump thought was going to be an easy blow, but it's being experienced locally in the University of Wisconsin, Madison, the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. There's a lot of people who are affected. It isn't just ivory tower elite intellectuals who experience the benefits from these government grants that are associated with, for instance, medical research. There are people in experimental programs right now trying to get over the cancer they have who are dependent upon grants from the federal government, which have been put on hold.
You know, Sandy, they clearly, you know, I was doing Dominic Selvia's show with him on yesterday. I was on his show yesterday, and I asked him a question. You know, he had been to many Trump rallies. I had been to a couple. And so you watched this early on, Sandy, and it was kind of a court jester kind of thing. And you watch Donald Trump and you watch these starry-eyed people all dressed in MAGA attire and with the signs and all those kind of things. And you never once even in your mind could have believed that they could have pulled this off. There was nothing, but I guess, as you stated, it wasn't Trump who pulled it off. It was all of those masterminds in Project 2025 who pulled this off.
Well, they're the ones who are pulling the strings in terms of what's happening now. You know, we've got Peter Navarro and the tariff hawks who have persuaded Donald Trump that, number one, these are all things he can do unilaterally. So if you're a sort of megalomaniac, and if you like not only proving to everyone else, but proving to yourself that you have a great deal of power, then when someone whispers in your ear, you can implement these tariffs unilaterally, sir. You can do this without talking to anybody else. This is your individual power. Then, well, you like doing it. It's like, this is how you get off. I can put a tariff on that. And so, you know, we've got people talking to the president about how he can exercise power unilaterally. And this is someone who likes nothing more than the capacity to exercise power unilaterally. And being able to turn it on and turning it off are both exercises of power. So we have this guy who's turning tariffs on, then he turns them off, then he turns them on. I mean, that's the kind of instability that rocks the economy just as badly as the uncertainty about whether you're going to turn them on.
So, Sandy, in this morning's Wall Street Journal, Trump's tariffs are no emergency. The president invokes a law that doesn't give him power to impose sweeping tariffs. Someone should sue. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, this unilateral tariff policy does require that he make certain findings associated with emergency. The tariffs that he's imposing that contradict the trade agreement that he entered into and declared to be the best trade agreement ever in the world, the one 5 years ago that he entered into with Canada and Mexico, only allows him to implement tariffs contrary to those treaties in the situation of an emergency. So he declares an emergency. An emergency about what? His emergency theory is the fentanyl trade, and
yes,
the tariffs are the necessary weapon that he has to use in order to stop an emergency, which is the fentanyl trade. But let's face it, that's a made-up emergency, and it's made up particularly when you aim it at Canada, for instance, where there's no evidence that the fentanyl trade is materially being impacted at all by importation through Canada. You know, almost everything that Donald Trump is doing, including all of what was in Project 25, is based on his declaration that America at large, our economy, our society, are all in an emergency condition, and they require his kind of conduct to solve for the emergency. And my question is, what emergency? Our economy is as solid as ever. And what is the emergency in our society that he is addressing?
Well, you know, he talked about the emergency at the border. He talked about the emergencies everywhere. And Sandy, it's, I guess what this gentleman is really talking about or asking is, should he have to prove that there's an emergency before he can get away with doing the things that he's doing?
Well, absolutely. And that's the issue that's going to be the tough one with respect to the Supreme Court, because I do believe that this Supreme Court, as currently configured, is going to be very reluctant to get into the mind of the president with respect to deciding whether or not an emergency exists that warrants the conduct. Because, you know, we might well have a fentanyl emergency. The question is, what are the right responses to it? We might have had an emergency at our border with respect to the rate at which we were having infiltration over the border. But what is the proper response to that in the emergent power of the president? You know, there's an altogether possible likelihood that at some point this president is going to believe there's an emergency that warrants declaration of martial law. You know, martial law can involve suspending elections. Martial law can involve using the military in the United States with respect to the domestic citizenry. I mean, so, you know, it is going to be important that we have a court that is capable of interceding and deciding whether there is an emergency, and number one, and number two, whether the president's conduct in response to that emergency is appropriate.
You know, Sandy, I'm looking, breaking news. Trump threatens new sanctions on Russia. Sandy, you know, what's next? Is he going to threaten sanctions on Earl Ingram and Sandy Williams? I mean, what?
That's what it's looking like.
Here's the problem. This is a president who likes, if he has a gun, I'm sure he would like to just shoot it. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, this is the question of the possibility of using power. And if you are power hungry, then what you want to do is exercise that power, whether it means turning something on or turning something off. I think this, again, is cosmetic eyewash. Donald Trump just wants to prove to Congress that he's a tough guy with respect to Russia. And so how tough is it to claim or to state that you might increase sanctions on Russia? All you're doing there is bluster. Until, in fact, that happens. And, you know, I think that so far what Donald Trump has run into is a problem associated with the extent to which he's become way too cozy with Russia.
So let me ask you, Sandy, you know, in several weeks, the Congress is going to be faced with, you know, the budget. And Democrats are clearly stating, hey, we're not going to, they don't want us to be involved in governing anything anyway. And they're going to basically not even be involved in this. The budget is going, you think it's going to be an albatross around his neck?
I do. I said to you a couple of days ago, I think that the Democrats will be perfectly willing to sit on their hands. And if the Republicans can't organize themselves in a way to pass a budget, I think that the Democrats will let the government shut down, because the Republicans are hell-bent on shutting the government down anyway. And what is happening right now with the conduct of the Republicans is more and more people are realizing the actual benefits that are provided by the federal government, that the federal government is not just a bunch of paper pushers, and that when you lay off a bunch of federal employees and when you terminate a bunch of federal programs, it actually hurts, because those programs and those employees are not just paper pushers. And it's not just a balloon that when you pop it, it doesn't matter.
You know, Sandy, when the shutdown of the government, which almost appears to be inevitable because Congress, the Republican Congress and Republican Senate aren't on the same page. At some point in time, when will they start having these discussions?
Well, they've already started. They understand, I think, that the Democrats are going to be willing to let them hang themselves. And they've started a process of trying to figure out how they can extend the budget on an interim basis out through September and get through the next hurdle.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
And more, much more than this, he did it his way.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Gandare, oh, let's fly. Way up to the clouds, away from the maddening crowds. We can sing in the glow of a star that I know of, where lovers enjoy peace of mind. Let us leave the confusion and all this illusion behind. Just like birds of a feather, a rainbow together we'll find.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. Sandy, your music.
Well, I asked artificial intelligence to give me some music that the mob listens to.
Really?
Yeah, really. And they gave me this one, so, which, you know, I don't know how they decided that, but I'm innocent.
So artificial intelligence knows about the mob.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Actually, I've got a couple of different artificial intelligence apps. I'm currently using one called Claude. And Claude provided me with a lot of music cues associated with Don Corleone and the mob.
You know, Sandy, as we watch what is happening before our eyes, and in such a short period of time, the dismantling of the levers of government, and you just, even as an American citizen, you sit back and you watch this, and you just say, okay, do they ever even give it a second thought that, you know, after 4 years, the damage that they are going to have accumulated, then the people move back to the Democratic Party. Don't they understand, or do they not plan on ever relinquishing the power that they have? That's what I believe it is.
I think they hope and plan that they won't relinquish the power. Project 2025 involves the discussion in the introduction to it, as well as the whole document. A 2-year war, so it's got a timetable. They think they will have Congress for 2 years. They think that in the first 2 years of this presidency, they can change the architecture of our government, put the power into the hands of the White House to micromanage the economy, to make sure that the policy the policy of the president will get implemented up and down the line, that the war against the so-called administrative state will be won in those 2 years. They'll knock the stuffings out of the number of people who work in Washington and make the agencies much less capable of doing what it is they were otherwise doing. And what they're accomplishing is, if you picture a pendulum on a short string swings very rapidly back and forth. A pendulum on a really long string swings slowly back and forth. And what's happening now is they're shortening that string on that pendulum, and they're making it very short indeed, 4 years, because every president who gets elected is going to be capable under this new architecture of being the new sheriff in town. They even talk about that now, the people in the White House, that we've got a new sheriff in town. And that new sheriff is going to be able to implement all new policies. And so that pendulum is going to swing rapidly back and forth. And that rapid swing is going to knock the stability out of the American processes, including our economy. These people, in the name of creating a golden age, are going to kill the golden goose. They're going to kill the stability that is the underpinnings for the American economy.
So, Sandy, I always speak from the perspective of the average American citizen. That's who I am. That's the community and the life that I live in, and most of the people listening to this show, that's who we are. This continued. If now, you know, Democrats 2 years later or 4 years later get their chance to come and swing things back, it's going to take years. This uncertainty and continue swinging back and forth damages the average American even more, because there is no stability.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it damages the business community because they have trouble making the investments, and the investments which might create jobs. I mean, if you believe at all in the notion that our private economy requires a stable basis upon which investments can be made so that jobs will be created, we're knocking the underpinnings of that out with this process. And this is the problem with ideologues getting control. You know, there are people who look at Donald Trump and say he's the ultimate pragmatist. Well, he's pragmatic about Donald Trump obtaining power. He's not pragmatic about doing the things that are going to help America and Tom, Dick, and Mary. And this new process of his securing power is at the behest of a bunch of ideologues who want to change America in some very basic, dramatic ways. It's an experiment, a huge experiment. And what we don't need is an experiment, because experiments fail 90% of the time.
So tell me how it makes sense. And I know you know this doesn't make any sense. So he put McMahon in charge of the Department of Education so she can shut down the Department of Education. I mean, these are just nonsensical things.
Well, the problem is that they are very important policy initiatives which are being done without any sort of public deliberation. And deliberation is what's necessary to carry out the rational revision of our government. And our government, you know, needs to be examined. It probably needs to be revised in some fashion. It needs to be made more effective. But what we don't need is this lack of deliberation and just meat axe smashing.
We're going to take your calls, in the second hour, 855-752-4842. It's Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Pat Kreitlow.
I'm practicing my quiet voice because Monday is my wife's birthday and she's sleeping in. One of the occupational hazards of trying to do a radio show from home.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump says he has sent a letter to Iran's supreme leader, but Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has not confirmed that. Trump made the comments in an interview this morning on Fox, saying his letter read, "I hope you're going to negotiate, because if we have to go in militarily, it's going to be a terrible thing." U.S. employers adding 151,000 jobs to the economy last month. ABC's Alexis Christophorus.
Big picture is, look, we have a solid jobs report. The unemployment rate at 4.1% is still near a half century low. So whatever shocks may be coming for the economy in the way of higher inflation because of the tariffs, at least we have a job market that's in pretty good shape heading into all of that.
Not included in this report, the recent Trump firings of thousands of federal workers. Newly released court documents revealing frantic text messages between surviving roommates on the night that four University of Idaho students were murdered. The text could be used at the trial of suspect Brian Koberger. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly